from Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University Beers with the Brewers.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of Land Grant University Presents Beers with the Brewers. I'm Adam, one of the owners here at Land Grant. We are here in the Kickstarter room live, 3:30. I guess it's already 4:06, so we got a little later start, but wanted to make sure we had everything set up here in the Kickstarter room, as this is a special edition of Beers with the Brewers, where we will be talking about Land Grant history.
Yeah.
We're coming up on our fourth anniversary, so we figured, for those of you folks that may have not been on the tour, you may be new to Land Grant, we'll give you a little background. We're going to go through a bunch of our beers. We got a couple special guests this week. So joining me, as always, or as most ways.
Most ways.
Walt Keyes, co-founder and creative director.
Yeah, and historian, apparently. Producer Julie and I had fun going through this timeline and figuring out all the stuff we've done in the last 6 years.
All right, and Mark Richards to my right.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Julie's here. You may hear from her a little bit. But first time on the podcast, we have one of the other co-founders, Quentin Jesse, joining us.
Cheers.
Welcome. And across from him is the OG Land Grant
OG Joe C.
That's me.
Joey Chamberlain. Joey, Healthy Joe. He's got a lot of nicknames around here.
Joey Computers.
A lot of them.
Fantasy football.
He's got a lot.
Yeah. Champion Guru. Tears. Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So, as mentioned, we're going to be talking about a lot of Land Grant history, but let's get into some of the upcoming events that are coming up this week and next before we jump into that. Over to Walt.
Yeah, if you are listening to this podcast the day it comes out, which would be Thursday the 20th, assuming we have our act together and it comes out on time.
We'll see.
Tonight, we have in the beer garden, we got a double feature. Whether a music fan or a sports fan, we got you covered. We're going to have a music series performance by Jessica Wabbit. That's going 5:15 to about 8:15. Following that, we're going to be projecting the Browns game.
Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns football club out in the beer garden.
Go Browns.
If you made it down on Saturday for the Ohio State TCU game, it was a pretty cool atmosphere. The game looked great up on the screen and went really well. Obviously, the Buckeyes went, so that went great. There was at least one TCU fan here who didn't have quite as much fun as everyone else.
They probably still had a good time, though.
Yeah, I saw him at halftime, and he was very excited. And then I saw him later on, and he was
less enthused.
Less excited, but it seemed to be okay. It had to be what he sort of expected to get into.
But Cleveland Browns versus the New York Jets.
That's correct.
Yeah. So a couple early draft picks, a couple really, really good football clubs there going on Thursday night in primetime.
Boomer Esiason versus Vinny Testaverde, I believe.
Yeah. Or Vinny Testaverde versus Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, Boomer Esiason never played for the Browns.
He played for the Jets.
Yeah.
So we've got that both those events going down tonight, Thursday, and then next Saturday, so a week from Saturday, is the fourth anniversary party. It's officially a 7:30 kickoff for the Ohio State Penn State game. We will be showing that out in the beer garden as well. And as a result of that sort of weird kickoff time, we moved all the music up exactly one half an hour. So music will be starting at 12:30 and going until game time. Justin, our brewer, gave me a almost complete list of beers. We've got some that we're hanging on to surprise y'all with. But we're going to have a lot of our usual suspects, our seasonals, et cetera. We're going to be releasing on Monday Bourbon Barrel Age Dropout Imperial Stout.
Yeah.
So that's coming out Monday. And you're going to want to be here on Monday to get some of it because
we've all been drinking it. We've been sneaking the cans and taking it to tailgate, so there might not be any left.
May have had a few.
First off, be gone before we release it. But
there is another reason.
But, yeah, so if you can recall, way back when we did the Corsica beer with Daily Growler.
Yeah, 7 months ago.
Set all the way back to January. We did a golden ticket contest where you could sort of win a VIP experience with John from Daily Growler as well as here at Land Grant. So we're kind of running that back, and we're hiding two what we're calling acceptance letters within four packs of this Dropout Barrel-Aged Imperial Stout. And if you find one of these two acceptance letters, you and a friend can join us for the anniversary party and get the VIP treatment at that party.
VIP.
VIP.
Wow. What does that mean?
It means what you think it means.
You get to hang out with Mark all day.
Yeah.
You get to haul kegs out to the beer garden.
It's not bad. No,
it gets you the royal treatment at the anniversary party. You're going to have a great time. So come down here Monday, buy Dropout, and if you are lucky, you will get the sort of golden ticket acceptance letter jackpot scenario. So and I mentioned a big list of beers outside of Dropout. We'll have Bourbon Barrel Aged Bay. That's our raspberry chocolate imperial porter. We've got a barrel aged version of that, as well as a non-barrel aged version of that. We got Bourbon Barrel Aged Coffee, Binary Star Black IPA. We got Bourbon Barrel Caber Wee Heavy. We got Blanc de Blanc. We got a Scottish Ale. We found a keg of our third anniversary barley wine that we're going to put on. And then, as always, a full board beyond that. And we've got some fun infusions that can't announce just yet, but more to come on that barrel or that beer list. We'll have well more than 30 beers on the list on Saturday, plus a bunch of bands, plus the game.
And,
I think
good.
I've gone on long enough about that.
Yeah, hopefully some concentrate is left. Good Lord, it's amazing.
Yeah. And tune into last week's episode to learn about that beer and get down to the tap room to grab a six pack, because that is going extremely fast.
Yeah, I'm going to make a retraction from last week's podcast that maybe four is not a good idea. We're going to back that off to three on a crushability scale.
Did you learn that during the game on Saturday?
Maybe.
Jumping into the history of Land Grant.
Yeah.
Land Grant's history. It all really started back, early 2000s-ish, mid-2000s? No, mid-2000s. Well, you can even go back to the beginning of time. So I grew up, I was born in Hinckley, Ohio.
And then, with the Buzzards.
And then I went to Padua Franciscan High School in Parma, Ohio.
The Bears.
And then I went to, I started at Miami University and then went to Ohio State. And then Walt had a parallel timeline. That he was born
in. I was also born in 19... No, we don't need to go into that. But
in Cincinnati.
But I'm from Cincinnati, and I also went to Ohio State. Adam and I met there after he transferred, and we were roommates for a couple years there at Ohio State.
Yeah, lived in the same house after college. I moved to Madison, Wisconsin for about a year. Walt went out to New York City, and I moved down to Chicago. Started homebrewing as a hobby, so always got into beer. Really, when I moved to Madison... friends lived above the Great Dane Brew Pub there in downtown Madison. We would we'd go out that go there quite a bit. Shout out to Ari Nielsen, buddy who now worked.
Is that the place that had the boots?
No, that was the Essen House that we would go on Tuesday nights in Madison. Drink a lot of beer at that place. So get some Polliner's Spotten boots of those. So. So in Chicago, had been getting into beer. We lived in an area with a lot of new breweries popping up. Decided I wanted to figure out how beer was made. Went to a homebrew shop. I worked up in the suburbs. Went to a homebrew shop by my work. Picked a lot of the brewery owners' brains as we kept brewing beer. Shout out to buddy Colin McNamara, still in Chicago. Him and our good friend from college, Kyle Brown, would come over and brew beer. And we'd do that quite a bit. We started brewing a ton of beer. So at that point, we needed to name our hobby brewery, and the name we came up with was Oval Brewing Company. At that time, I mocked up a logo in MS Word because I did it at work, and sent it over. I go, Walt, this is you can make this look really good.
So people ask me how I became involved in the brewing world, and I've never made a batch of beer. I couldn't even start to brew a beer. If someone gave me all the stuff and told me to go in the back and make a beer, I'd be...
Oh, don't shortchange yourself there.
No, like I'd probably hurt myself or the building or something. But I got involved, as Adam sort of led into, was working as a graphic designer in Cincinnati, and basically his hobby of homebrewing on the weekends or after work or whatever became my hobby of designing labels and coming up with logos and names and stuff for the homebrew. It's just one of those things that, like, I would work all day and then come home and work on that for fun. And then we were doing more and more and more of it, and just sort of spiraled out of control.
Yeah, so the year at this time is 2010. We brewed the first batch of beer. It was the week we got back from my wedding, which I got married in January of 2010. And it just spiraled out of control after that. And started really considering opening a brewery. Like I said, we were talking to a lot of brewery owners, folks in the industry in Chicago at the time, and really looking at, could this be an opportunity for us? And there's a brewing school in Chicago. I started taking some technical classes, knowing that if we ever did that, it's a lot different than home brewing. Walt and I kind of put together an idea, and there's a brewery in Chicago. Shout out to the guys over at Pipeworks. They did a really good job describing their whole startup experience. They blogged about it. They worked at a really good bottle shop in Lakeview in Chicago, and then did an apprenticeship over in Belgium to get ready to start a brewery. They came back and they did an online crowdfunding program that I'd never heard of called Kickstarter, which wasn't equity crowdfunding, but you kind of tell your story and people would back your project. So at the time, it was this new thing. Pretty much Kickstarter is pretty ubiquitous at this point. So if you're not familiar, you can go to Kickstarter.com and check it out. But I'm sure...
Don't go watch our Kickstarter video, please.
It's still on there. You know, I thought it was a really great opportunity to really tell your story, really get your name out there. And they were successful, so we talked to them a little bit and made a deal with my wife, who's from Chicago, that if this was a successful project, then we would be able to move to Columbus. So kind of skipped over, but... Walt,
spoiler alert, it worked, and here we are.
Yeah, Walt and I always talked. We really loved our time. Not being from Columbus, but going to school here, really loved the city, and always talked about coming back. We did different design and web stuff throughout the years between the time we opened the brewery or in college. So that was the idea. A lot of the branding and everything we had built seemed to, you know, it was built around with Columbus in mind originally. Yeah, we did the Kickstarter back in February of 2012. 60 days later, end of March, which was my birthday month, yeah. March 31st, 2012, it was successful. So we raised over $30,000 from about 176 backers. If you're, especially when Mark MCs the podcast, he always talks about that we are doing the podcast in the Kickstarter room. Mm-hmm. It's the room offside the tap room. And if you give at least $5, got your name on the wall.
Yeah. And if you were feeling generous and gave us $1,000 for some reason, you got your name on all the cans of beer. Adam's parents and my parents and a random guy named Phil.
Yeah. So if Phil Pichelny, if you're out there, it was great meeting you a couple years back when we got the proofs of the cans. He came down to make sure that his name was on the side. But if you ever look at our cans of beer, every single can, whether it is labeled or printed, right by that government warning on the side, it says kickstarted by Denise and Chris Benner, who, as Walt said, are my parents, Alice and Michael Keys, who are Walt's parents, and Phil Pichelny.
Yeah.
Who...
And I put... And many more. To give everyone else a little...
Yeah, so everyone else is in spirit on the wall. But what they didn't realize, and we'll get into this later, is it was a twofer, because you're actually... Your name's on the wall at Columbus Airport as well, since they copied the Kickstarter wall. So...
Jackpot. What an investment.
Yeah, a great investment. I mean, talk about the number of people that have seen your name. Probably, I mean, that's more like a triple or double after a split.
Yeah,
so.
Because a lot of people just sit here and read the whole wall.
Yeah. That, shout out to Uncle Meaty. Shout out to Doc.
Kelly Ryan.
People.
What about Justin Reich?
Ryan? That was
actual
a great
brewing
one.
Company up there?
Yeah, Actual Brewing Company, our friends over in Columbus. But yeah, Justin Reich, who you may have heard on the podcast before, was a Kickstarter backer. And we found that out after we hired him, which was pretty funny. So a lot of our college friends, a lot of our family, but a lot of really cool people who believed in the dream Walt and I put out there. And as we talked about, we're going on our fourth anniversary, but this is back in 2012. And we also, Kickstarter's not equity, so you don't really owe anyone anything. But as we went through the rest of this journey, as we talk about it, that was always in the back of our minds that, you know, these people did believe in our story. Maybe we were onto something. So that did keep us going as we faced some of the perils of startup business and probably faced anything that you could throw at a startup business from legal, real estate, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, now we're in April of 2012.
Oh yeah, we're deep into this story here.
We are still at the beginning, and it was funny when we finally opened in October of 14. We're like, you know, we've been on this journey for over 2 years. And we're like, we're at the finish line. We did it. And then everything else happened. So
That's a funny thing about starting a brewery or starting a business at all. There's all this build up and work and effort that goes into just getting the doors open. And then I just remember like the first night Landgrant was open, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're close the bar or whatever. And like, oh, we did it. And then it's like, well, yeah, we did that part. Now we have to do this every day for the rest of our waking lives. So
very shortly after we were successful with the Kickstarter, we ran into our first hurdle, which was a trademark issue, naming issue.
Yeah, the name Oval Brewing. Go figure. There's a Austrian vodka company called Oval Vodka.
So yeah, but we still had a lot. We had Stiff Arm. We had a lot of beer names. A lot of Walt's designs had that collegiate feel to it. So we still wanted to honor our alma mater and came up with the name Landgrant, which is a reference to the Morrill Landgrant Act specifically.
Yeah.
So of 1862, that was a law that they took federal land, gave it to the states. The states then sold that land and used the proceeds to set up institutions of higher education.
Yeah, to form an endowment for their university.
So every state has a Landgrant school. They focused on agricultural, mechanical arts, and military science, A&M schools, or farming, engineering, and ROTC programs for the most part.
Yeah.
So Ohio State is Ohio's. You got Penn State, Michigan State, Kentucky, Georgia, Florida.
Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue. Shout out to Chris Helderman, Purdue grad, and Karen Hudman.
There it is.
Hudman. Sachana.
Yeah.
Who's a professor over at Purdue.
Yeah.
So, and I believe Mark Sachanek is a Penn State grad.
Yes.
So we're well represented in Landgrant schools. If you're ever in our tap room, you see all of the pennants that are hanging. Those are only from Landgrant colleges. So if your school is not
and
represented,
Ohio University,
it was proven
it was a Landgrant University,
that it was
a
Landgrant.
Morrill Landgrant.
So we let it go because it's Ohio, but we do prefer Morrill Landgrant schools, because even some of the original state Landgrant schools like Michigan State ended up being included in the Morrill Landgrant Act. So if your school isn't representative, it probably isn't a Landgrant University.
Yeah, don't be offended.
But I
probably 4 years to the day, I hung every single one of those pennants up, just so everybody knows.
That's right. Joe Chambo got them all.
Was it on September 19th?
I think it's almost 4 years to the date that I started working here, yeah.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah.
4 years of beers for Joe Chambo.
So if Joe would have hung a Landgrant Brewing Company pennant, that meant we didn't have that pennant from there. So bring one in. We try to keep an updated list on the website.
It is currently updated.
So, wow, we are still only on the third bullet.
Yeah, we might want to pick up the pace here because,
So it's basically right around this time that we had the naming issue that Mr. Quentin down here connected with us, reached out to us, and I'll let Quentin kind of go through how he met us, but through our really good friend, friends at this point. At that time, it was really Jackie and Dan, and who just got married a couple weeks ago. So,
yeah. What was his nickname?
Big Dave the Facemaker.
Big Dave the Facemaker.
Yeah. So if you ever if you look at our Kickstarter wall, you have Dan BDTFM, Big Dave the Facemaker Gallo. That was his name for a while, because I thought his name was Dave and not Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, and I met Dan tailgating down at the Buckeye Games and through the Raring family. Met Jackie, and then Jackie introduced me to Walt and Adam. I was actually on the process of starting my own brewery, and she said, hey, why don't you guys like talk? And I had kind of done some of the capital investment funding portion through my endeavors, and luckily I ran into these two wonderful business partners.
Wonderful is a strong word, but I appreciate it. Thanks, Q.
But that really helped us. I mean, from our standpoint too. I mean, Q really fit his personality, fit in with Walt and I, and it's been a great partnership. One of the coolest things, very early on. So I was in Chicago, and Walt hadn't moved up from Cincinnati yet. As we were looking at buildings, as we were trying to get things ready, our brewer at the time, big shout out to Jamie File, who helped us really get started, did a lot very early on, would go to Quentin's house and brew on my old homebrew system and test out recipes and work through a lot of that. He'd do it in the wintertime. It was the year of the polar vortex, where I believe
we had frozen beer.
Man, this
beer
a lot.
Yeah, the beer would freeze. So Jamie would refuse to put on the heaters in Q's garage to save energy. So
big long cord coming from the dryer.
Yeah, it was an electric brewery.
I mean, my dad made this cord for us, and it went out into the.
You would drive by, and like, there's just steam pouring out. It looked like
Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
luckily, the neighbors were cool. So we just had to be like, because the kids would go to school in the morning and they would walk down to the elementary school right by my house. And the parents were nice. So every year during Halloween, I usually have the Son of a Mutter, which goes really well with chocolate candy. And we serve that to the adults in the neighborhood for Halloween.
Very nice.
So if you want to know a good place to go, go figure out where Q lives and go trick-or-treat in his neighborhood. But yeah, that was quite a while that we basically would look at every single potential building between 5,000 square feet and up in the 270 loop. So we talked about a few things here on the Kickstarter that we wanted to be a production brewery first, and we wanted to be in an urban location. So to find a space that fit that criteria in Columbus was not as easy. If you look at cities like Cleveland or Chicago or Cincinnati that have these historic manufacturing in their downtown districts, Columbus is a much younger city. So it took us a while to find that building, and ran through a few things in that as well, including having a building in Grandview in 2013, losing that building. That was our second big hurdle.
Yeah.
And then finally finding this building at the end of 2013 that we're sitting in here in Franklinton.
Yeah, we had a building over by where the Grandview Yard Giant Eagle is now, not too far from there. And the very last second, they basically told us to get out and kicked us out on our ass.
We were out on the streets.
Yeah, I saw that guy. I saw that guy on an airplane, and he didn't get off. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Poor guy. I think it might have been above his pay grade that got us out of that building. But
yeah, that cost us a full year pretty much. And luckily we were able to land on our feet down here in Franklinton.
So we found this building we're standing in now, built in 1920. A old elevator factory, the Harper family, that we were able to just purchase the building. So mm-hmm. The land grant, we own our building now, which is huge. Family has been down here. They ran the Capital Lift Company. They've been great to work with for the past few years. And they have a lot of history in the building. We're looking at, if you're ever in the Kickstarter room, you can see a picture of what the building used to look like on Town Street from...
And a new plaque.
A WSU documentary. Yeah, it was in honor of the Harpers. The patriarch of the family got honored by the Franklinton Board of Trade. So yeah. Kathy had dropped that off for us. So put that by the picture. So took us about, 6 months or so to tear it down and put it back up. But if you're ever in the Kickstarter room, we got a time lapse that you can watch.
I remember we signed the lease on my 30th birthday, which makes it easy to remember.
Birthday month in March, of course.
Yeah. And then, so that would have been March, early March. And I think we'd done a little bit of demo before that. But so basically March to October, so 6-7 months of construction.
So during construction is when Mr. Chamberlain comes in on the
Joe,
story.
You've been sitting very patiently waiting for us to talk about
you.
I remember
Chamber.
Yeah, so Joe Chamber, we would we'd go over to Strongwater across the street.
Covered in soot.
Yeah. I think I permanently stained the sink in the bathroom at Strongwater, washing my face and hands in there.
There was 70 to 80 years worth of just like soot and charcoal dust and machine.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll die a little earlier than I would have otherwise.
We look like that scene from Zoolander where he gets the black line.
Yeah.
And I remember Joe
he was winning the match pop.
Joe asking us if he could have a Land Grant sticker for his guitar case.
Yeah, he was a traveling musician.
That's back when he was busking on the corners here in Franklinton.
That's correct. Yeah. I think I said to Adam that whenever you guys got open, if you needed some help, let me know. I actually hit it off with Walt probably the most. We would talk about stupid bands that nobody's heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was right when that War on Drugs album had just come out, I remember.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, another thing to mention around this time was, so Joe was probably our first, so outside of the owners and our brewer at the time, Jamie, Joe was probably our first, like, official employee. But we also had our first and only intern at the time, which was my sister, Julie, who's now the producer or whatever of this podcast. And is
you are the producer. Sort of say hi. The
marketing coordinator here at Land Grant.
Hey, turn your mic on.
Yeah, turn your microphone on first.
Hello.
Yeah, so there's Julie. Yeah, so Julie was in law school at the time at Ohio State and was our intern for the summer for no pay or credit, of course, because we had no money to give her, and it was not related to her law school at all. She would come and help us paint and do stuff and clean and whatever.
Yeah, I painted the very room that we're in, actually.
That's right.
As did all our parents as well.
Yeah. To this date, our only intern of so far, but we might change that. So if you're looking for an internship in the brewing industry and you listen to podcasts, maybe hit us up for summer vacation or whatever. So yeah, we had a long time of construction and demo in here, and kind of the big moment was getting the new floors poured on. Floors in here were a mess, which led to some interesting stuff when we got our equipment in here. So our equipment was delivered, and we found out that the floors had been in such bad shape that we ended up having to put down, I think, like an inch or two more than we thought of the new surface, which we knew some of these tanks were going to be a tight squeeze, and it turns out that inch or two was what we needed to get them in. So we had to cut into some of the joists in the roof to squeeze some tanks in. But we made it work. We got them in here. And we brewed our very first batch of beer on, when was that? That was September 16th, 2014. It was a batch of Son of a Mutter. We picked Son of a Mutter to brew first, which I think we mentioned in that podcast. Because at the time, it was the only beer that we had the recipe for that didn't involve dry hopping. We kind of wanted to start with something pretty straightforward and went with that. So that was the first batch of beer that we brewed on September 16th.
Another fun fact, the president of WM Sprinkman, Brian Sprinkman, came out from Wisconsin and brewed that batch of beer with us. So that's why Son of a Mutter is always number one on the board. And thanks to everyone at Sprinkman, it's been a great relationship we've had with them as well over the years.
The next kind of time we ever had anyone in here was Independence Day. Does anyone remember Independence Day?
That was the first time I walked into this building.
Yeah. We were serving water.
We sold bottles.
I was serving water.
Julie was serving water.
I was the bartender.
Yeah.
Go Jules.
Yeah. So we... Joe, were you there? You were probably working...
I was actually working at Strong Water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was busy.
It was,
they probably needed...
And then our Heartland Bank fellow was doing the disco tech in the back with the lasers on the tanks.
Man, I forgot about that.
Had a good stage back here.
Yeah, we had the disco, like, electronic stage in the brewery.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was. It was fun. It went well. And then, we sold a lot of bottles of water. We sold a lot of T-shirts that day because we had gotten our, like, occupancy permit so we could have people in here legally, but we hadn't gotten our liquor permit yet, so we couldn't sell booze. But we could have people in. We had air conditioning, so we had a lot of folks in, chug water and buy
cool
T-shirts.
Cool down, you know?
Cool, just cool off, you know? Yeah. So that was the real first time that we opened the doors to the public. So that would have been Independence Day at the time was probably late September, early October, which led into our grand opening.
Man. You know, that was a great day.
I mean, you were here.
I was here all day long, actually.
Yeah.
Because I think we only had like two or three bartenders, but all family members were doing things. Julie was barbacking. Lauren was sweeping. Walt was drinking bourbon. Q was working.
I drank bourbon after we closed.
We drank a lot of bourbon that night.
After we closed, which
we had a giant bottle of Woodford that I think you and I drank together.
We put a pretty good day in that, yeah.
We certainly did.
But yeah, that was a wild day.
It was a great day. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I remember my mom washing glassware, Julie running around.
Yeah, to this day, my brother-in-law, Kevin, reminds me that he was washing toilets that day, but all the family members were put to work that day.
And big shout out to another OG land grantor who lives out in Denver, Colorado now.
Molly Connor.
Yeah, the craziest maniac I know, Molly.
Yeah.
Who we called her. She had expressed interest of working land grant, and
I think you called her the middle of the the opening day and said, "Can you come in and work?"
She
was here about 7 o'clock.
She expressed interest, and I said, "You know, we'll see how it goes for the first week or so, and I'm sure we'll need someone at some point." And that point was like 2 hours into being open.
I think we underestimated how many people were going to show up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of folks.
So I called Molly and I said, "Hey, can you come in and work?" And she was here like an hour later. I worked here for quite a while after that, and then moved to Denver, Colorado.
Who else was bartending at nine? Jacob? Was Jacob?
I don't think so. No, it's just old Luke Pierce.
Yeah, Luke, Joe, Molly, Adam, myself, and then a whole bunch of friends and family lending a hand wherever they could.
Bar backing,
pouring beers, whatever had to get done, got done. I mean, it was a full on, like,
Kristen,
family
affair. I know Q's wife did a lot of work that day.
Yeah.
It was a group effort.
It sure was. And we got through it. That was a long day. And then that was the moment where I sat back. I'm like, oh my God, we got to do this all again tomorrow.
And we just had four beers on tap. We had Son of a Mutter, 1862, Stiff Arm and Greenskeeper.
Yeah. The core four.
That's what we used to call them, yeah.
Yeah. And at the time, when we first opened, we called them batch one, batch two, batch three, batch four, right? And,
correct.
Yeah.
Just because we knew we were going to tweak those beers beyond what they were. And
they came out with a little too much alcohol based off the recipe because the system was so efficient from the Sprinkman family.
Yeah, it was more efficient than we thought it was going to be. And we still have those four beers on. Son of a Mutter is still number one on the board. You'll see those first four at the top of the board to this day.
Fun story. Walt created a label for the Son of a Mutter, and we had to ask one of our investors' wives, who's in the horse racing industry, for the picture of the horse, and she got us along the right path, because I think the first horse we used was a pony, some kind of show pony.
I used the wrong kind of horse. I didn't even know. Yeah, it's I forgot about that.
This is news to me. You guys don't tell me anything.
All right, opened October.
Yeah, then we rolled those four beers, and I went out in the market, sold them, and
and then the rest is history. Yeah, so we opened with the four core beers, but the first deviation from those four that we did, I don't want to call it a seasonal. I mean, it's a seasonal now, but it wasn't at the time. But we brewed a beer for OCBA, Ohio Craft Brewers Association, did a holiday event down in Cincinnati that we went down for. It was kind of our first brewery event I think we ever did. And they wanted us to bring some sort of Christmas beer, which we didn't have at the time. So we're like, well, we need to figure one out. And Adam had the idea for Beard Crumbs, which is an oatmeal raisin stout based on oatmeal raisin cookie. So we brewed up a pilot batch of that, and it went really well. Took it down there, and people really liked it. So I think we followed it up with another small batch, and it kind of became our Christmas seasonal. But that was the first one outside those original four that we brewed.
Yeah, and that should be coming out soon too, Walt, in the next month or so.
Beard Crumbs coming out, and we moved it up a little bit this year, but end of October.
Yeah, there's Christmas trees in the Target now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, hardware stores.
I think it's coming out towards the end of October, very early November. So,
hey, what's the deal with that paintball splatter on the front of the building?
Well, Mark, I bet you know. You haven't talked much.
I do know a little bit about that. It just predates my arrival here at Land Grant, but
I remember it was the Sunday after. So Ohio State played Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship and won 59-0. And the next day, I came in to open the bar up for, you know, NFL Sunday. And I'm pulling, I think Aaron was dropping me off. And we pulled up, and she pulls up to the front of the building. And I'm like, what is that? And you look up at the logo that we painted on the barn wood, and there's paint splattered all over it.
All your work spoiled.
Yeah, we had a five or six of friends and family again. I mean, it was very much a friends and family sort of project, and all got out there with a projector and painted. Blake Compton was there. Shout out to Blake Compton, and painted the logo out there on the barnwood, and pulled up that Sunday, and it had been sort of vandalized with paint balloons. Not necessarily paint balls. People say paint balls a lot, but they're bigger splatters than that.
Bigger splatters.
We found the sort of
paint balloon, actually.
Yeah, we found the balloon knots on the ground there below it. So we were Adam and I were sitting there watching, football, sitting at the bar talking about what can we do about this? This is, 150-year-old barnwood. It's not like you can just hose it down. It's not like you can sand it off.
Yeah, we were thinking, what could we do here? Could we maybe turn it into a t-shirt? We, might be something that we can kind of put it back in the people's face that wanted to vandalize it, but use it as an opportunity to do something for the neighborhood. And we were really bad at the time of deciding how many sizes of shirts. When we first opened, we bought a lot of larges, thinking that we were going to have a lot of big guys buying shirts, and we ran out of smalls really early on. So we go, hey, let's put them on the website and just take pre-orders, but when we do it, let's give all of the proceeds back to some neighborhood charities. And that was a way to kind of take what someone was trying to do to maybe tell us to get out of the neighborhood, but we wanted to be down here and do our best to be actually part of the neighborhood and make something good of that.
And I went out and took some photos of it, digitized them, and we made t-shirts out of this sort of vandalized logo. And we put them up that same day on the website for pre-order, with the idea that all the proceeds would go to the Gladden House and the Harmony Project, which are two nonprofits here in Franklinton that sort of work to do the opposite and sort of clean up the neighborhood and make things nice and good for the folks that live here in Franklinton. And so we put them up for pre-order, and we sold I don't know. I want to say we sold over 300 of them.
It was close to 500.
Maybe it was close to 500. Yeah. We sold a lot of them.
But the idea was to turn a negative into a positive, which we did.
Yeah, it was, and we sold a ton of these shirts, and I think we ran it from late November through Christmas. Had sort of a party a few months later when the shirts were delivered, and presented a check to those nonprofits, and it was kind of a cool thing. And if you come down here, you'll still see those paint splatters out there on the wood. But yeah, it was us just trying to roll with the punches and like Joe said, take a negative.
What is a negative?
Take a negative. That's what I always do. Why wouldn't you?
It's a holiday thing. Egg negative.
Oh, okay.
It was in December.
Fair enough.
That could be a craft cocktail.
Yeah.
And then, Walt, let's look on our sheet here that we started wholesale distribution by yours truly here, October 28th.
So yeah, Joe, you want to take that bullet point?
I think I just did. I think we could probably just move on.
Just move on, yeah.
I will say so that it was a lot of fun and, getting beer out in the market and delivering those kegs with myself and Luke. And then
who's our first account, Joe?
Bob's Bar.
Daily Growler.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, no. Daily Growler was the first that had us on tap. But I think
a handful of accounts, and there's still great accounts for us. It was Bodega and Old Town Tavern and Yellow Brick. Yeah. And
Bodega, that's where I met Heart of Gold, Joey Chamber.
Yeah, and I was going to speak to that just briefly. So it was myself and Luke, basically running the bar, delivering kegs and selling beer until we met Mark about January of 2015, and I had known Mark from my days working at Bodega. He was a regular there, and we always got along and helped Mark get a job in here, and now I think he's my boss or something, so it's been great.
It was crazy at the time. We sort of had to scramble to figure some things out, but it all worked out. In June, that's when we started putting the beer in cans.
Beer in cans.
Oh, hey, Adam.
Oh, hey, I'm back.
Hey, Adam's back. Yeah, we started putting beer in cans in June. That was an experience unto itself.
Yeah, started canning basically Memorial Day weekend just after, so we missed a lot of those great Memorial Day sales, but we canned Stiff Arm first. Had some interesting lessons learned on our canning line that we purchased from a brewery from Oklahoma City. And
But yeah, that went out Kroger first couple weeks, and it was really cool to be able to actually see, to take our beer different places.
Yeah.
I know jumping ahead, but bringing that stiff arm to our first Ohio State tailgate, which was a lesson learned, definitely goes into that crushability scale. Don't crush too many stiff arms at a tailgate. It's probably, I think we had it at, what, stiff arm at a 3 on the crushability.
Mm-hmm.
So still need that crushability here on the podcast, but...
Yeah, so shortly after we started canning was when we sort of officially partnered up with the crew. Or maybe it was before that.
No. So we partnered with the crew. That was one of the first things we did back in. We started having conversations. We opened in October, and we started having conversations in late November, early December. And I believe we officially started partnering. It was maybe February of that year. So this was back when... Crew SC went through their rebrand from the Columbus Crew and talked about, you know, being the soccer club of Columbus. So they wanted to bring on a lot of local vendors, and it was a great opportunity. Our one of our really good friends from college, Walt went to high school with him, Nick, worked at the Crew and kind of made the initial introduction. And again, they were looking to partner with the local brand, and the timing was right with our new brand, and talked about doing a beer together. But what we always talked about was, we always hated when you saw brands that just did a beer they had and just did a Twitter fan vote or something like that to rename it. We wanted it to be more authentic, but we couldn't be like, hey, vote on your favorite hop and your favorite grain to put in this beer, because that just wouldn't work. So we decided to brew four different beers to start out. Two black beers, two gold beers, Crew's colors. And had a bunch of fans down here. They voted on their favorite beer. And what won from that was an American Wheat that we then did the same thing, because American Wheat's such a polarizing style from your very citrusy, easy drinking wheats, your Blue Moons, Shock Tops of the world, all the way, you know, your Bell's Oberon, all the way to the little something-something gumball heads that are almost IPA. So we brewed four different American Wheats, had the same thing, had people vote on it, give us some feedback. And what won was an American Wheat with Citra Ford, slightly hoppy, that we called Glory, in honor of Glory to Columbus, as the Crew supporters chant. And so this was in the spring of 2015, but what we did at the time, we just kegged that beer once it won. And once we started canning, that was the first beer we identified that we should put this in cans. The crew did a really good job. They worked with the MLS. We didn't to get a special exemption for us to actually brand the can with the Crew logo on it. And that we put Glory in cans that fall. We did a very short run. At that time, we were hand labeling. Shout out to Jacob, who was a bartender at the time, but now is managing the lead on the canning line. He was hand labeling all of those. We did, I don't know, maybe 50 to 100 cases. Those went really fast. And then, lo and behold, Crew went on a run and made it to the MLS Cup. And we didn't have that beer, but that was really our foray introduction into being a partner with the sports team. That year, we were partners with the Crew. They made it to the MLS Cup. Unfortunately, they lost to Portland. The MLS Cup was here in Columbus. It was a lot of fun. About 18 months later, after our first year, partnered with the Blue Jackets. They came off a losing season. Made it to the Stanley Cup playoffs that year for the first time.
In a while.
We've been partners with both the Blue Jackets now for 2 years. This is going on our third year. They made Stanley Cup playoffs both times.
Can I say, I think we might be a good luck charm.
We opened, and the
Buckeyes won the national championship. Yep. The Crew goes to the MLS Cup, and then the Blue Jackets make the playoffs. I mean, yeah. I think there's some kind of connection.
And the Crew made a very long run last year too. Pretty good. You were picking up what I was laying down there, Q. And Joe's been lobbying us to partner with the Cleveland Browns.
There you go. That's what I was about to say. Thank you.
I knew it.
Maybe next year.
I know you. Maybe as you're wearing
the Super Bowl.
Joe's wearing his brown and orange Land Grant shirt.
That's correct.
He's holding out hope
in honor of Dave Meggett.
Dave Meggett played for the New York Giants.
Whatever.
Yeah, Eric Metcalf is who you're thinking.
Yeah, that is who I was thinking.
Yeah,
about.
Number 21.
So, and then, yeah, the second year at Moffitt, we had the designated stand going into our second season with the crew.
What's funny is here, we're looking at this timeline. We go from August of 2015 to basically one thing in May of 2016. We didn't do anything for about 5 months.
Well, we made a lot of beer.
About 12
we were hustling. Yeah.
No, that's not. We were just playing ping pong, and you know it.
Yeah, that's true. That's
true. Those were the days of basketball hoops in the brewery and ping pong in the tap room.
Just being athletes. We played a lot of Mario Kart.
Mario
64.
Kart, yeah.
I
selling
think I
beer.
The most.
But we sold all the beer that we could make. That
this
was the thing
true.
At the time.
This
so the I think the biggest announcement in 2016 was that found out coincidentally through a Columbus Business First article officially that Land Grant was going to be the anchor craft beer at Ohio Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
We had sold our beer in the Huntington Club. There had been rumors they were going to sell it around the stadium. And lo and behold, we were sold throughout the stadium and outsold Budweiser that first year. So one of the highlight, definitely a top highlight from one past 4 years is drinking a Stiff Arm. First time ever had any alcohol in Ohio Stadium for Walt and I, imagine.
Yeah,
first time ever.
I would never sneak anything into this.
Never happened. So that was a huge honor and still is to this day when walking through the stadium and seeing someone holding a Stiff Arm or ordering one of our beers at the stand. So if you do see us, maybe we'll buy a beer, but we still have to pay the $10 or $11 that it costs at the stadium.
We understand that it's very, very expensive. You know, at this point, we've been open and we're kind of humming along and we've got this big timeline here, but I think just sort of touching on some of the highlights we've had. I mean, we've had great anniversary parties. Fourth one coming up, but 1, 2, and 3 were all, they get better and better.
Yeah, it was 32 degrees the first year. I was the only one watching the game at the end of the night. Second year, it was...
They lost to Penn State.
Yeah, second year they lost to Penn State, but it was about a nice, cool, crisp 55 degrees. Sold a lot of sweatshirts that night. Yeah. And then last year it was 65 degrees.
But yeah, we've had a lot of great events. I mean, anniversary parties stand out. Jenny's Strawberry Jam this past year. Homage Barbecue last year was really cool to work with them and do an event.
With the Homage Barbecue, touching on that, was what introduced us to Ray Race and our first foray into having them out there. Now they're here all the time. But
yeah.
What about the second location, though, the airport?
Yeah.
To Joe's question, the airport.
But yeah, somewhere in there. So December 2016, we opened our second official location in the airport here at John Glenn International Airport, which has been a really cool thing and pretty surreal. Definitely, it's humbling and cool to hear from people that are traveling through Columbus and send me a picture of them at the tap room or standing outside the tap room at the airport. That's been a really great experience and a really cool thing that we've been sort of blessed to be a part of.
Yeah, I'd say that kind of goes with the theme that looking back at the past 4 years, a lot of the partnerships that we've done with other companies or other events here in Columbus, whether it is Crew SC that started it out or the Blue Jackets, but being at the airport, as we mentioned, we did something with Homage, such a big Columbus brand. This past year, we did a big event with Jenny's and the Strawberry Jam. Coincidentally, 4 years ago, Jenny's was at our opening serving beer floats.
Yeah.
So
best day of my Land Grant time spent was tasting the different beers with the ice cream.
Oh, yeah, when they brought them all over. And so let's figure this out. That's pretty fun.
It's always nice when Jenny's comes over and brings a lot of ice cream.
Yeah.
And then this past year, and we actually were meeting with David from the Cap City Half Marathon earlier today, but that was a really cool partnership, a really neat opportunity. I actually met David at a crew playoff game this past year and had us out. And we brewed a beer with them, 13.1 wheat, and that was a great experience. Walt was on the start-finish line walkway with the DJ shouting out the crowd. He had a great experience.
Yeah, DJ B. Drizzle, the official DJ of the Cap City Half Marathon.
Yeah, Margo, too.
Yeah, Margo was up there. Yeah, it was funny. That was like right when I got there, and I'm like, is Walt on the PA right now?
That's pretty weird.
Big other thing that happened right after, actually, I guess on the Jenny Strawberry Jam was opening the beer garden. We've talked about it. If you listen back to the old podcast, you'll hear about us planning it and talking about the opening. But that's been a huge opportunity. And as we talked about, we'll be having the Browns game on here Thursday night for Thursday Night Football. And you'll all join us in a week and a half down here for the big anniversary celebration.
But yeah, it's been a pretty wild 4 years. I mean, the people that have been involved with this place have been incredible and true family to everyone here. We've had weddings here.
We've had engagements here. We've had engagement photos here. We've had people not even just employees come by and take wedding pictures.
Baby showers.
Yeah. We have, and actually I saw him walk in earlier today, which is really, really funny. I'm really bad with names. They had their baby announcement here. They had their baby shower here.
Oh, at the Jenny's tasting event.
And they always bring their baby down here. So I feel like that baby has been, that baby's whole life has been part of Land Grant. So yeah, it's been surreal. The fact that right now we have about 40 employees here at Land Grant.
Mm-hmm.
Just the four of us at the very beginning, and then as we talked about, Joe joined very, very early on. So it's I think that's the one that we didn't anticipate the most is how many people that would be part of this kind of extended family, this family that we were creating down here. And we wouldn't be where we are today without all the hard work of everyone here at Land Grant, making us what we are, and folks listening and enjoying our beer.
And real quick, like before we like wrap things up, I want to make sure we give a shout out to three of the most important people that have allowed us to do this. Lauren, Aaron, and Kristen.
Yes.
Been a big part of this and helping us with our next steps and our achieving dreams and whatnot. But yeah, I want to thank our investors, a lot of family, friends involved in that. And also, I want to thank all the employees, former, current, and future employees, for all their hard work and helping us get to where we are.
Yeah, and to echo Q's sentiment, it's not just necessarily our wives that have to deal with it. I'm sitting next to Mark, who I know, old Joan, has to deal with a lot of his stuff all the time. And not the only one. All the spouses and significant others and boyfriends and wives and girlfriends.
Whoever my current girlfriend at the time
and
is.
And Joe's girlfriend.
Joe, you got one right now?
Yeah, next week we're doing the history of Joe's girlfriend.
We were going to read through all the beers around here, but I think actually reading all of the girlfriends Joe's brought by the tap room might not be...
Hey, I just wanted to say thanks again for letting me be a part of this podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Thanks for letting me be your boss.
Yes, thank you for being my boss, Walt.
It's nice to have you on, Joe.
It was a lot of fun. Maybe I'll do it again. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for repping. That's what we say.
For all the rest of you, thank you for tuning in. Hope you learned a little bit about Land Grant. Hope to see you down here on September 29th for our fourth anniversary party. Make sure to tip your bartenders. Cheers.
That bourbon barrel batch 200 is probably a 1.5 on the crushability scale.
That's what you've been drinking?
Yeah.
And Q has had two so
getting
far.
Getting after a Q, oh first time in a podcast.
Q, do we have to get you an Uber home? Is Kristen coming by to...
I may have to call for the lifeline.
Who wants to read the list of beers?
You just keep going. Just read them all. Anyone. Just start reading
13.1,
them.
1862 ale, 30,000 acres, 42.1.
Damn good
97.1.
Deep
the beer, all American. Fort Columbus.
Double over, same time. EF1.
Wow.
Godora.
Elixir.
Session 71.
Gold Pan.
Goon.
Gotfuzz. Stoppage Town. Sundrews and Tennis.
Different.
Fort Columbus. Columbus.
Totesley Oaks.
Franklin Public.
That was easy. Totesley Oaks.
Godora.
Trips are right.
Glory.
I think we did them all. Raw.
Is that going to work?
Godspeed. Gold Pants. Goon. Godfuzz. Gravity Wave. Greenskeeper. Groomer. Hotel 1862. Home. Kin. Lawn Raker. Matchday. Misconda.
The Sentinel. The Hellion.
Ooh.
Yeah, got him in there.
Yeah.
You can't forget me.
Can't forget.
Groomer. Hotel 86.
Thanks for repping. That's what we said.
Jesus Christ.